In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So this is the day of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is a three-day feast. But there's a big change now. You can kind of feel it. Just as how you can feel spring coming on, or fall, or winter, you can feel a change in the seasons. You can now feel a change. We're out of the Paschal season now. And during the Paschal season, we were talking about enlightenment, and we were talking about very, very rarefied spiritual things, because we were reading from the Gospel of St. John. But we're not doing that anymore. Now we're starting with the Gospel of St. Matthew. And Matthew and Mark and Luke, they're the synoptic Gospels, and they are fantastic, but they're not on the level of St. John. St. John is a highly spiritual Gospel, and every word is spiritual, and it is meant to elevate us. And he wrote it last. He had the other Gospels in front of him, or he was aware of the other Gospels when he wrote it, and therefore he included many things in his Gospel that were not in these synoptic Gospels, and especially revealing who Jesus Christ is and how we should live in a spiritual way. Now, all of the Gospels, in fact, really all of the Scripture, is about how to live in a spiritual way, but certainly St. John is preeminently about that. And the Gospels also teach us how to live in a spiritual way, but sometimes not with so many words. You have to interpret it. You have to see the spiritual meaning of the text. There are really multiple meanings of everything in the Gospels. So we are entering in a new period. We're reading from the epistles now. We're no longer reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And we're reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew at this point in time. And so we're going from spiritual to practical. Now, you have to have practical in order to have spiritual. You have to put in the work in order to be able to see God. It just doesn't happen by us dreaming about it. We're a land full of dreamers that just think things. Some people are famous sometimes for posting spiritual things on Facebook, but they don't go to church. And speaking of spiritual things, but not fasting or not having a prayer rule. It's very important to have these practical things. So the Gospel of Matthew, you should think of it in a practical way. It's teaching you things you should be doing if you're going to be a Christian. Not as external laws. There is not one external law in all of Christianity. There's lots of external laws in Texas and in our country. We have speed limits and we have laws against that and laws against this. Those are external laws. Sometimes it's obvious that that's a good law. Sometimes it's not so obvious why that law is present. And we are told to follow them whether we like it or not, whether we believe in it or not, because there is an enforcement authority that will punish us if we don't do those laws. That's not Christian law. Christian law is internal. And you learn this internal law by reading the Gospel and living according to it. Now, if a child is learning arithmetic, you're going to teach them how to count, how to add simple numbers. First, you know, numbers that don't even add up to 10 total. Then they learn to carry the one, and then they learn bigger numbers, and then they go on to algebra, and they go on to geometry and trigonometry and calculus. But you're not going to teach a little child calculus. It's not possible. So if you want to put it in a kind of a strange way, St. John is calculus, and the spiritual life of really understanding God, knowing God, being filled with God, that's calculus. We're just in arithmetic right now. We need to learn how to live as Christians. But always, since we are spiritual beings, since God enlightens us, since the Holy Spirit abides in us, since after all we are celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, so that he would abide in us, we should look at everything in a spiritual way. But let's be very, in a way, workmanlike. You know, let's pick up our lunch pail and let's read the Gospel of St. Matthew and let's apply it to our life. And there's lots of application in this particular selection. There's application basically in all of the synoptic Gospels. So for instance, he says, "Be taking heed that you do not ever despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in the heavens their angels continually behold the face of my Father who is in the heavens." So what he's talking about is people that we maybe think are not so special, or a child doesn't know much, or someone's poor, or whatever. People always have reasons to despise others. Maybe not in an open way where they think they're being hateful, but there's a certain favoritism involved in how they live. And we have to understand that there is a spiritual world, and that God is aware of everything, and that the angels are aware of everything. And we, in our puny little intellect, sometimes despise those little ones that God loves. So there's the spiritual application. Everybody matters. I'll tell you a practical application of that. So this is autobiographical, self-referential, because the person I know best is myself, and I don't even know myself that well. I've gone to prison many times, and there have been hardly anybody there. I've driven 350 miles, see one person once. That was it. And there was a certain dejectedness in my spirit, but I remembered this idea that there was one there. There was a little one. That's why I was supposed to be there. And so I wasn't so dejected when I didn't think of this verse exactly, because that's not how it works. But the spirit of this teaching was present, and here I was. I got to see one guy. Life happens. And I did what I was told. So we should be like that too. I think we stretch too high for things sometimes. We want numbers and everything like that. And that's a bad thing. We have to care for the little ones. And the little ones are walking all around you all the time. You're going to encounter little ones today. I remember this woman. She's almost certainly dead now, because she had a particular genetic anomaly that the lifespan was about 30 years or so. And she was a sweet woman. And she was slow. She could read, she could write, she had a little job, but she was slow. And she had certain things that were her favorite things to talk about. She loved some TV show called Chips, about guys on motorcycles, you know. All she wanted to do was talk about it. I think she had a crush on one or the other of them. And all she wanted to do was talk about Chips. And then all she also wanted to talk about was that you should eat a banana a day because it has lots of potassium. Well, that's a nice fact to know, and it's true. But do you need to know it 100 times in a given meeting? Not really. Those were her favorite things. And she had a few other things. She was a very sweet woman, very pious. She said her prayers. But she was the kind of person, let's be honest, there are people that when they talk to you, you just sort of get bored. You know, you're kind of like, okay. You know, how long is this going to go on? All of us have had that happen. And she was a little one. And I regret that I wasn't always tuned into her. I wasn't always patient with her. Now, I did notice that those in our group sometimes just passed her off. Yeah. And just, I tried not to do that, and I didn't do that. But come on, people can tell. You're kind of rolling your eyes, you're looking at your watch, etc. That was not caring for a little one. All God wanted me to do was be patient with her. That's it. Just be patient with her. Now, I didn't know much about the Jesus prayer back then. Now, when somebody talks to me that is talking so much that they don't even hear the replies, then I just look at them, maybe make an occasional response, and say the Jesus prayer. But that's caring for the little ones. That's an important skill to have. So the Lord asked this question, what think ye if there should be a man that has 100 sheep, and one of them should go astray, and will he not leave the 90 and the 9 and go look for the one that's gone astray? And of course, he will. And if he happened to find it, he will rejoice more than over the 99. So what is this teaching for us? Well, to care for everyone, just like caring for the little ones. But then also, there is a spiritual affliction among us. Many people have this spiritual affliction. That is that they feel insignificant, and that, you know, God really isn't going to really talk to them, really going to help them. He helps others. He helps saints. But I'm not a saint. I'm just a sinner. Well, that's a bad attitude. Because God cares about the one out of the 99. And if you're the one out of the 99 that's gone astray, he's going to go after you. He's going to help you. He's going to find you. But when he finds you, you have to hear his voice. So we should not feel insignificant. But then again, we also shouldn't feel all puffed up. A puffed up person doesn't care for the little ones. And also, strangely enough, a puffed up person, when he encounters trouble, he doesn't have the tools to deal with that trouble. And then he feels weak. Well, we're already weak. Let's not worry about that. Let's just ask God to help us and live in a spiritual way by caring for everyone. Then he talks about if your brother has something against you, go and reprove him between you and him alone. Then if he won't hear that reproof, that rebuke, then you take two or three. Remember, the Holy Trinity is three, right? So a word is established by consensus. And if he still doesn't hear you, then you take it to the church. But what that's telling us is when you encounter someone that's wronged you or wronged someone else, it's not like you should just immediately go and have a fight with them or go and out them or go and write about them in an email message or a social media message or whatever. You should go to your brother and you should say, brother, there's a problem here. No, come on, 99 times out of 100, your brother's going to say, get lost. Well, then you bring somebody else. But what you're doing is you're not being angry. You're not being impulsive. You're actually acting out of love to your brother instead of anger. Because we have so many other agendas that we're not aware of. If you follow this protocol, then it's very hard to just lash out in anger against someone because you have these limits to you. First, you have to go to them. Then you have to go to them with more people. Then finally, go to the church if it's something that's that serious. You know, in secular wisdom, we kind of have that idea in a way. My mother used to tell me, when you're angry, count to 10 before you say anything. You probably heard that from your mother too. So this is a practical thing. We shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't curse at people. We shouldn't slander people. We should not judge people and give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, how are you going to do this? By having this process of having a dispute with them. It slows things down. It's really very practical. So we follow the gospel, and it's practical advice to encounter our brother and to not make a hash of things by being angry or impulsive. You see, the gospel is full of these kinds of practical things that are really leading us to a spiritual way of living, because we shouldn't be angry at people. So how are you going to do it? It's not easy to say, I'm just not going to be angry, and then not be angry. In fact, it's pretty much impossible. There has to be sort of a plan, and here's part of the plan. It's really very just simple and very beautiful. So the gospel is practical. Even St. John's gospel has practical things, but it also has things way above us. But if we're going to learn those things, we have to learn this stuff first. Not to favor anybody else. To understand that God loves us as much as everybody else. Not to have that sort of strange self-esteem problem that so many people have, that they feel insignificant. And also to learn to interact with our brother in a way that is measured and careful. Be a whole lot less problems if we follow just this advice. And now we have several hundred more pages that we could read that gives us advice. Praznikum, greeting on the feast, the second day of Pentecost, the Monday of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.